Okay, Hebrews chapter 2. And again, we're still in that section where Christ is shown to be greater than the angels. And we have come to these verses at the end of the chapter, verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted or put to the test. He is able to succor, help them that are tempted. Now, as we think of the problem that the Jews were having with, in one sense of the word, the incarnation. Jews today have a problem with that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. You would talk to a Muslim, they have a real hard time that Jesus of Nazareth was more than a prophet. They have a hard time comprehending the Trinity. In fact, they deny the Trinity. And we find here the necessity again of the incarnation, the necessity for Christ to take upon him flesh, to leave heaven and to be born of a virgin and to take on the form of a servant and to be born of a woman and to die on the cross. From a human standpoint, of course, seeing in him in his condescension, seeing him in his humility, there was some difficulty in recognizing that he is truly God the Son. Of course, in Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, we have a vision of Christ in his glory, and now the world will not ever see him with his deity robed in flesh. The next time the world sees him, they will see him as described in Revelation chapter 1. But in the meantime, we have the misunderstandings or the lack of understanding of the necessity of the incarnation and that God the Son would take on human flesh and that truly Jesus was the Son of God. Verse number 16, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, it's very interesting that it says they took on him the seed of Abraham, did not say he became a man. In this case, it says he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, the significance of that is that it is speaking of the fact that the Jews needed a Savior. The Jews needed a Savior. And because the Jews needed a Savior, there was one who would have to take on human nature in order to bear their sins and satisfy the justice of God. And you know, it's interesting. If you, I haven't really seen it. I've heard about it. But used to have, I don't know if he's still on, I think he retired, right? Larry King. He used to interview, he had Jerry Falwell on there probably 3 or 4 times. He had Bob Jones Jr. on there probably 3 or 4 times. He had Joel Osteen on there not too long ago. One of the questions he likes to ask this question. Will Jews go to hell or do Jews go to heaven? He'll ask that question various different ways. And he's waiting for, because Larry King is a Jew, he is waiting, giving a trick question so everybody will, you know, react and discard this person. And so, when he asked that question to the different people that I've heard, the fundamentalists or others who know the Bible, says they asked the question, will Jews go to hell? And I know Bob Jones III said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone will go to hell if they're not saved, and everybody needs to be saved. And, of course, that's what the inference is here. The Jewish people who are God's physical people, Jesus took upon him the nature of the Jews. He took upon him human nature. So why? So the Jews could be saved. And so we have, obviously, the great purpose of the incarnation is because man is lost and there is a holy God whose wrath must be satisfied, and someone needs to come and be a substitute for man and pay for their sin. And so God the Son had to leave heaven and took upon him human flesh so he could die for our sin. And of course, under the whole issue, the Muslims, they really don't have a Savior. They don't have any means of salvation because there is no one who can take their penalty. The only way that a Jew, Muslim could be saved, according to their thinking, is that a holy God could somehow be unholy. That a holy God could somehow be unjust and unrighteous and somehow just wink at sin. And of course, the whole issue is that there would not be salvation if there was not a triune God. Because a holy God had to have his justice satisfied. And the only way his justice could be perfectly satisfied is if there was a perfect sacrifice made for that sin. And man could never make that sacrifice because man is a sinner. And so God had to send his Son from heaven to pay that perfect sacrifice. So now God can be holy, and he can be just, and he can forgive, because a perfect sacrifice has been made for our sin. And so we have that inference of that in the question of the Hebrew people. You know, it looks like Jesus is lower than the angels. It looks that way because he took on human flesh. And of course, the early part of this chapter, author of Hebrews says, no, God never said to any angel that they were going to be crowned with glory and honor and that they're going to rule the world, et cetera, et cetera. And here we find referring back to the answer of the incarnation that he had to take on the seed of Abraham because Abraham's seed needed to be saved, just like we do. And so verse 17, wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so here we find the two main issues of Christ taking on human flesh. One is that he might taste death for us, that he might reconcile God to man. Man had to be reconciled back to God. Man was a sinner. Sin separated man from God. And Christ became man so that he could reconcile man with God. Now, as you think of that word reconciliation, it gives us a picture that we don't often like to think of. And that is, without Christ, man is an enemy of God. Before Christ, without Christ, man was an enemy of God. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Now that's hard for people to comprehend. And the reason it's hard comprehend is because we have, in the whole, we have a pretty shallow view of God. We really don't believe in the holiness of God. And when you think of what the Bible says, Romans 5:10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, being much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, how would you describe an enemy of God? An enemy of God is, obviously, one who is not at peace with God. But maybe a couple other thoughts. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. Now, if your father says, you know, go to Waukesha, and you're like Job, and you go to Whitewater. Think you're at peace with God? So, your dad says, take out the trash, and you go and you dump out the trash in the kitchen. Well, that's about the opposite, isn't it? Well, the Bible says that we are an enemy of God. Outside of Christ, we're at enmity with God. We are going our own direction. We are in rebellion against God. Sin has put a great barrier between us and God. Why is it that the unsaved person, if they're really honest, like it's God is like 5 million miles away? Why? Because man without Christ is at enmity with God. And of course, we need to be reconciled to God. And there's only one way we could be reconciled to God, and that is for our sin, that is that barrier between us and God, to be taken away. And so the Bible tells us that Christ came so that he could reconcile us to God. And of course, there's a great truth tonight, and that is, are we in fellowship with God? You know, reconciliation speaks of that there's nothing between us and God. It speaks of the fact that we are on the same ground as God. It means we see things the way God sees them. Pastor John preached on Psalm 73. And that great verse, that man, the psalmist, was envious at the wicked. And you know, there's a lot of Christians, they look at the world and they say, boy, that's what I would like. Or they would say, you know what? Why would I want to live this straight and narrow life? It doesn't seem to pay off. And the reason that people think that way is because they're not walking with God. And the scripture says that the psalmist was thinking wrongly because until he went into the sanctuary of God. He got into the presence of God. And then all of a sudden his eyes were open. His mind came back to right understanding. And all of a sudden he realized that his thinking was completely wrong. Well, there's a picture, really, of the difference between being away from God and being in fellowship with God. Now, notice what else it says here in Hebrews, and we don't want to belabor it, but it's a great truth. Hebrews, it tells us that Christ not only took on flesh so he could die on the cross, Christ took on human flesh so he could be tempted in all points like you and I. So he could be tempted in all points like you and I. Now, we don't have time to discuss it very deeply, but when Jesus was tempted, he was tempted in just the way we are. How was he tempted? Well, the Bible says that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so here was the Lord Jesus. He was hungry, and the devil said, make this stone into bread. Take care of your physical needs. Put your physical needs in front of God. Don't wait on the Father. Don't trust God to take care of you. Take care of yourself. Go ahead of God. Put yourself first. Put your needs first. People say, you know, you say to someone, you know, I don't know about that job you got. You know, you're going downhill with that job. And people say, I got to have money. Guess what that is? You know what that is? That's the lust of the flesh. To put money in front of God. In putting God, the things of the world in front of God. Violating God's principles to get money. And the Lord was tempted. And he didn't fall for it, did he? And the devil showed the Lord all the kingdoms of the world. Oh, they were so beautiful. You know, I remember being in Oakland area, San Francisco area. And you know, you go up on the Oakland Hills and you look across the bay and you see the lights of San Francisco. Oh, they were so beautiful. But you know what? That's an ugly city. I remember going to seminary and we'd get out of the car in front of the Unitarian Church there to walk across the street to go to seminary. And we'd walk out of the car and we would just look at each other and we'd just say, you know what? I can just feel the evil in the air. I can just feel the evil here. You know, but that city, boy, looking across the bay, it looked so beautiful. You know, just, you know, I think of this nice subdivision right across the freeway here. You know, one of the newest subdivisions, you know, $300,000 houses. And maybe it isn't really the best. There's some other ones that are better. You know, two brand new cars in the garage and new this and new that. And I suppose some young person goes by there and they say, man, wouldn't it be great to live like that? You know, here we got this clunker car and we can't afford to do this or we can't afford to do that. Boy, wouldn't it be great to have money? Wouldn't it be great? You know, I always say give that subdivision about 5 years. And they're the utopia of the new houses and the new cars will come down to whatever reality, and if you could, you would see file for divorce, file for divorce, going to the doctor and getting an antidepressant, or give them about 15 years when their kids are wild and on drugs. Number one drug in Mequonago, one of the wealthy suburbs of Milwaukee, you know what the number one drug is? Heroin. It's not so great, is it? And we all face that temptation, the lust of the eyes. Oh, you see all these nice things. That's all they are. They just look that way. And Jesus didn't fall for that one. And then he had the pride of life. Took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, you jump down. And before you hit the ground, the angels are going to rescue you, and they're going to say, you see, there he is, the Son of God. Let's follow him. They won't follow you by what you say. They won't follow you by the preaching of God's word. They won't follow you by the fact. But if you get out of God's will and do, you know, you do something smart like that, you'll get their approval. And you know, that's what the world is all about, isn't it? The fashion industry is all about pride of life. You know what? The fashion industry is all about the pride of life. Everybody wants to fit in, right? Everybody wants people to think that they're cool. You know, whoever that crowd is. And, you know, but the Lord didn't fall for that one either. And so the Bible tells us that the Lord suffered every temptation that you and I suffered. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people when someone, they said, well, I got saved. And they said, what? You aren't going to be some kind of religious nut, are you now? Well, what is that all about? Pride of life, isn't it? That's the negative of that. The other part of it is, man, I wish I was, you know, such and such a baseball star making $20 million a year. Boy, wouldn't that be great to be great. Well, there's nothing really much to that either. But Christ suffered in every way that we are. And that qualified him to be a merciful and faithful high priest so that we can go to him and find help in the time of need. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, as it talks about this a little bit further, it says that we may find grace to help in the time of need. And that grace is the supernatural power of God that is available to us through Christ. And because He endured temptation, He is merciful to us. He knows, He pities us as a father pities his children, and we can go to Him and we can find help. And of course, it's in the context, why did Christ take on human flesh? So He could die for our sins. So He could be a faithful and high priest. So He could suffer in all ways like we, so that we could go to Him and find the help that we need. The power of God available. The disciples were in the garden. They were sleeping. They should have been praying. And the Lord said, watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we need God's help, but we can get God's help. And maybe even today we need to ask ourselves, okay, number one, did we pray for God's help? Did we pray for God's help today? Or did we go into a world of temptation without asking for God's help? Or did we get into a place of temptation and did not go to our high priest who could dispense the power to have victory over that temptation? I think the answer is, we're just like many times we are just like the disciples. Instead of praying, we're sleeping spiritually. And even when we are in the hour of temptation, how often do we forget? How could we do that? But we do, don't we? How could it be that we would forget that we have this tremendous availability, this tremendous resource, this tremendous possibility of going directly to Christ, because He's our high priest, and finding grace to help in time of need? That's what we need to do, because we have a merciful... You say, God won't understand. Oh, yes, He will. He is tempted in all points like we. And He will understand. And not only will He understand, but He is merciful. And He will give us grace to help in time of need if we will go to Him as our great high priest. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, we are reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. And we are reminded, Lord, of this great blessing, this great resource that we have, that because He came in human flesh, because He suffered, because He was tempted, and because as the victorious high priest, we can find help in the time of need. Lord, oh God, we pray that we would be people that would come to Him gladly and boldly in faith, expecting that help, that supernatural power in the time of need. And while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps just...